How are you this morning?
Very good, Elaine. And you?
Okay.
Very good. Are we the only two on here so far?
I just got on, and we're the only two that I know about.
Okay. I guess we'll wait a little bit and see what happens, huh?
Sure. When I came on, there wasn't any music. Do they still do that?
Yes, but I think most of the time Steve has the recording up and going already, so that's why the music isn't playing.
We don't. Okay. I wondered about that.
Yeah, it's just because he's already tapped in.
Did you do anything this weekend?
No, I didn't. It was a very quiet, laid-back weekend.
Well, that can be nice.
Not complaining.
Right. Do you ever make any of the recipes out of the Prevent and Reverse Heart?
Has arrived.
Yes, I've done some of them.
Uh-huh.
And I've been very happy with what I've made.
Mm-hmm. I made the sweet potato lime salad just recently, and we really liked it. But we found out that it's better if you let it set for a few hours or even longer in the refrigerator, and the flavors mingle, and we really liked it then.
Oh, that sounds great. I haven't tried that.
Yes, I made a note in my book to make it ahead.
Yeah. You know what? I think most of his recipes are like that, actually.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I find with most of the stuff I've done is that...
Char and Joanne has arrived.
Not that it's bad to begin with, because it certainly isn't.
Right. Well, that's good to know. Thanks, Betty.
I hear Elaine and Betty on the line.
Yes. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Onita.
Oh, good morning, Onita. How are you doing?
I just popped on just before you did, so.
Oh, okay. Well, I just got chewing my... Oh, go ahead.
Talking about...
I didn't hear that.
Betty and Elaine talking about...
I was talking about, in the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease book, the recipe of sweet potato lime salad. It was very good, but we learned that we liked it better after it had been in the refrigerator for a few hours and the flavors had mingled. And then Betty said she thought a lot of his recipes were that way. Not that they were bad to start with, but that when the flavors are mingled, it's even better.
I agree on that one wholeheartedly. In fact, I have gotten into the habit of almost making up everything unless it's something that's going to wilt too much and letting it set overnight and make it for the following day. One, I can do better on time. But two, the flavor, whether it's soup, salad, the main dish, entree, I mean, by the time, in fact, sometimes I make it and let it sit for 2 or 3 days before I even eat it. I'll taste it, you know, and I go, wow, I'm going to just add another day or a half a day, even into, we've really been working on moving, or I have, moving our meal time, our heavy meal to the middle of the day. I mean, there's no reason we can't do that. We're here anyway most of the time. And if I have the stuff made up, then it makes it real easy to do it. You just pull it out and, you know, dish it up. You don't have to worry about, you know, your time frame at all. And, but the flavors, I think on most of the salads that we make, I did, one that was, I don't know if I gave that one or not, quinoa and cucumber. And where did it come from? It was a week ago yesterday. Shoot, I think I've still got some of that. I don't see it here on my easel. I must have taken it over. Maybe I took it over. Maybe I already gave it. That's why. Or I've got another stack of recipes here, too, that I was working on. Anyway, it was quinoa, a lot of cucumber in it, and I doubled the amount of cucumber just to make it more moist because the dressing was really, really light, and it all soaked into the quinoa. I got just the perfect texture on the quinoa because a lot of times I don't pay close enough attention, and I will get the grain cooked too much and has arrived. And it, you know, I want a little more texture to it, a little bit of chew. And so this one was just came out really, really good, and it's been a week now since I made it, and it still tastes better than it did, you know, a couple of days ago. So I'm all in for doing that, plus having the convenience. You can, you know, just have everything ready to dish up. Bed of leaves, and that was all. Greens underneath it. So I'll say amen to all of you that have already tried that and decided it was a good way to do things.
Quinoa salad that you're talking about was one that you mentioned but haven't given on the call yet, Char.
Okay. I thought I had. I was pretty certain I had. I just didn't see it sitting here in front of me. Usually after I've done them, I've got an easel full now that need to be filed, or I'll get ready to do it again, and it'll still be sitting on the easel. It's about 2 inches. Ooh. It's more than 2 inches thick with the recipe. Of course, I put mine, I have to because I'm always getting something wet on them or splashing, and I don't want them to run in protector sheets. And I don't put them in a notebook, but I file them under the categories, entree or whatever. I use McDougall's breakdown that he's got on his computer. I haven't said this for a while, so I'll reiterate it. And that's the easiest way for me to do it. They're also in my computer, and so if I have to look very hard, I just print out another recipe. And then when I find it, I'll can put them into the same protector sheet, and then I've got one to give to somebody that, you know, has asked me for it if they're, you know, local people that I don't get around to emailing everybody back. But I did one last night that I really, really hit on that we liked. Denny said, wow, this is the best popcorn ever. We'd eaten a big meal middle of the day, and I said, you know, I really want to get to just eating one major meal, you know, with the drinks in the morning that we do and putting the green smoothie back in. You know, I feel like I'm just totally satisfied with just doing one major meal and then something else that's really light, whether it be a salad or, you know, whatever it is, but just a really light meal, not that I'm trying to do soup, salad, and entree, or just even two of those three. So I did popcorn. Now, it was cold. Well, it was cool, and it was raining, and I guess that's part of what made me think about it. And all I did was, I've got one of those whirlers, popcorn whirlers. I've got an air popper, a Lindy's stainless steel popcorn popper, and I really, really like it. It takes 2 minutes to make a big batch of popcorn. Well, we ended up making two big batches for the two of us, which was a little overboard. But, you know, as far as the digestion and everything, what I did that was different, I put a little bit more, well, I used coconut oil. I haven't made popcorn for a long time, and I think the last time I'd used a little bit of olive oil, because you have to put something in the bottom of that. It's one of the ones that stir, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, with the whirly handle?
Yes.
There's two different brands that are major. I think one's called a Whirly or something like that, and then this is a Lindy's. But anyway, I put a little bit more I used coconut oil, and I put a little bit more in, knowing that it was totally good for me. It wasn't going to get, you know, ruin the value of it. Got the temperature right. I sprinkled it then with, what I did too was I threw a few, I actually got started grinding my crushed red peppers that you get in the thing, in the jars that are already, you know, just the seeds and some of the red. Mine are pretty mild ones, so I don't know how much you'd use if they were pretty hot ones. But anyway, I grind them in the, just in the bullet, so it makes it just a little over just plain powder. You can see tiny, tiny flecks because Danny doesn't like things hot. Well, I put, a 1/16 maybe of a teaspoon in the bottom with the oil. And so the oil picked up flavor. And the reason I got that idea was I had bought out at, Bob's Red Mill. There was a couple that were handling their product. And it's called Penny's Surprise. It's a flavored gourmet oil, mildly spicy cooking oil. And it's an organic product. It says shake well, and I don't see anything to shake, but there must be something that's a little bit of sediment in the oil. Anyway, there is some canola oil in it. Well, now I know what to do. I can just make my own. I can make it out of coconut oil. Even though it goes solid, I'm still using some dipping, herbs that were in coconut oil about March that I put it together. And they've just been sitting on the counter, and I tasted them and smelled them, and they smell perfectly good. The oil is preserving them very nicely because in our kitchen it's cool enough that it sets up and is solidified. So anyway, I put that in the bottom of the, pan popper, and it really infused the oil into the popcorn, and then I melted down some of my homemade butter, which you could use coconut oil and flaxseed oil, which didn't again destroy any of the value in the flaxseed oil because it wasn't hot, and I always keep it refrigerated so it's fresh, and just barely warmed it enough so that the two would melt. And just dripped about, out of a whole great big popper full, because this makes a pretty good size amount. I used probably less than a tablespoon, so that'd be a couple of teaspoon and a half a piece on it, plus what was in the bottom. So, you know, we got some oil, some fat, but we're not getting that much fat anyplace else, especially since we've cleaned up our act even further. And I'm not using it in the salad dressings and so forth like I had been previously. Not using the alternative mayonnaise and where you pick up that stuff. Just thinking about it, I thought, you know, we're not overindulging, I'm sure, on the oils. And anyway, sprinkled it then, you'll love this one, Anita, or your husband will, with dill weed. And a little tiny bit of real salt, and Danny just said, "Oh my gosh!" And I go, "Oh, that's what was bad. He couldn't quit eating. I mean, it was when you wanted popcorn and you were tasting it already in your mouth, and then to have it that good, I said, "Oh goodness, I better make sure we haven't eaten a meal when we do this again, just like we did last night." So anyway, anybody wants to try that in the middle of summer? It was a great treat. I even had a pretty good size Ziploc. I mean, we didn't finish off both containers, and I was the one that played pig much more so than Denny did. Have to admit to that, but I got a pretty good size leftover amount that's in a gallon Ziploc bag, and it was tasty. Does anybody need a refresher? Did you get down what you needed on that? Because it was a treat, a real treat.
Where did you buy the real salt at?
The real salt, just our local grocery stores have it here. I'm going to do what Liz Coker did, and that's get a larger quantity of it because the salt doesn't go bad, of course. And she bought it by a 25-pound bag. She says, oh, Char, it's so much less expensive than in those little shakers or even me. The bigger one I got, I've gotten,
Loretta
has arrived. Two bags still sitting here because I'm still not very often tossing it and putting it in my mouth. But they recommend that you do for the balance. But I do really like the taste. It's 1 pound bags. I've picked up two of those. And neither one have I nearly emptied yet. And then I've got a shaker that is much finer ground. It's a coarser grind, more for cooking or something where you're going to dissolve it in. But I use that for all of it. I just figure, you know, with salt I'm going to put on our food, I want something that's really of value. And, you know, everything they've done indicated that even though it's a cutback on salt, if you're not getting it in processed food and so on, the real salt is really... really good for you. So, any other questions?
I have a question that somebody just asked me the other day. They said that they had read an article that because we've been eating, switching from regular iodized salt, that we're not getting enough iodine because everybody's using the sea salt and so forth. Do you know anything about that?
No, I've not heard anything to the negative on the iodized as to why you'd need to do that. That would be a good one for, what was the guy's name? Offerly? Or something like that, that did the little booklet on the real salt with the results he got with the tests that they had run at the Indian, on one of the Indian reservations for one, with the how the blood came into balance. And if the blood comes into balance, I don't know if there's trace amounts of it in there or what it would be. But that's a good question. Should type it up and send it to Vance and let him get him back on the call again. How many of you heard the call on Saturday with Robin Eckholm?
Oh, I did. That was fantastic.
Wasn't that incredible? And the questions that came up and the whole ball of wax, I thought, man, what a great one to have people listen to.
Yeah, like, you know, there was no point in really taking notes on that because it was so jam-packed full that what you have to do is go back and listen to it or be able to present it to somebody else to listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to even, I just want to say, I can't even begin to answer your question as well as the doctor that I heard this from, but I'm sure you're going to pick up 10 other points that are just as vital if you have an interest in health. And give them a copy of the CD or send them to where they can listen to it, either way.
Absolutely.
I was disappointed.
Pardon?
A man from Columbus had asked about, he had two questions, and she answered the first one, and she forgot the second one on scar tissue.
Oh, yeah. Right. You know, Vance is a really perfect illustration of that with his scar tissue from his burn, and to the point now where, you know, the only difference it could have made over...
Linda Morse.
Has arrived.
After he had his burns,
you have to be the father. The only difference it would have made.
Has arrived.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
Blocked out after the only difference it made.
The only difference it could have made in the way he looks today, I am 100% certain is a wellness home. I won't pick it apart because I don't know what all it could possibly be. It's just like him telling his story about the fall or the dive that he took into the jump he took into the water at 80 feet in the air, and you know how dumb it was because the kid here in Portland died off the same place where he jumped, And, but secondly, that it took him that long with the products to get his back even straightened out, just over a period of time is, it, you know, helping his whole body to heal from that. The same thing with the scar tissue. I mean, there was pronounced differences, at times that you could see as he was going, you know, after he started using the products. So where nothing had changed for several years. And that was when he was still growing, and that's when you're supposed to do the, your biggest amount. The doctor says because of his age, since he was young enough, when it happened, as his skin grows and he fills into it, it will disappear. Well, it did to a point, smooth out. But what took place after he got started on the products was unbelievable. I mean, it was at a point where we quit looking for it, and then all of a sudden I go, wow, you know, the last 4 or 5 years now, look how that has leveled out. And, you know, as an adult, it hadn't changed at all for, you know, a period of time. Because he was only in the sixth grade when that happened. So, I would still like to hear Robin's take on it, so that would be a good one, Nancy, to make sure when she's up again, because he said, I'm not going to wait that long to have her again. There'll be that many questions.
Yeah, I was hoping she would answer it, because when I had my 6 week follow up on my knee, on the other knee, the first one, I had shown him a noise.
Linda Morse
has left the conference.
Shredding. And he thought it could possibly be scar tissue, so I was interested to hear what she was going to say, and I was really disappointed that she forgot it.
you know, scar tissue surgery
internally.
Right. You know what? I did something different last night. I mean, I hate to even admit these things because I don't like talking about them, but started after I took a spill and went down on my knee. After I took a spill and went down on my knee about a year ago, this last April, but the way I hit my hand, left hand, the wrist joint right underneath the thumb, that whole area, has bothered me, and it irritates me, because when I go into speed knitting or something where I'm really doing something very repetitious, I can really feel it at the end of the day and even into the next morning. So last night before I went to bed, I've been pulling on a glove and wrapping two of the bracelets fit really good, wrapped around my wrist and then over my thumb, at the base of my thumb, and then hooked onto a couple of my fingers and then pulling a glove over it. And, you know, I could see a difference when I did it and when I didn't do it. Well, then last night I took and I put, after listening to her with the, using the chips, safety pins into the glove, a chip on that part of the hand underneath, and then another one on top of it. Could not believe the difference when I got up this morning. And the bracelets wrapped around it inside the glove. No, the bracelets were on the outside of the glove because I was getting too much in the glove. It's just a night glove, one of those cheap pair of night gloves that you can put on when your hands are really dry and you want to use. Oh, guys, if you've never used Burt's Bee foot cream, which is really gooey and really nasty feeling, you have to wear gloves or put socks over the top of it. Or cuticles on your hand or dry hands, or in the summertime when you're wearing sandals, dry feet, calloused. I have to grind mine down every time I take a shower practically. It seems like when you mature in age, your calluses mature faster repeatedly, at least on my feet. And anyway, it's wonderful stuff. It was one of my Vietnamese friends said, you know, in the high-end salons, they use it. She's a hairstylist, and they do, you know, the pedicures also where she has worked. She says, that's what they love to use on people for pedicures. add even manicures to soak their cuticles in and or put on afterwards or even have them used at night. And so I got started using it. I don't do it very often. But I didn't have that on last night because I didn't want to be that gooey inside. Has anybody ever tried that before? It's coconut cream.
No.
And it comes in a tube, and any of the stores that carry the beeswax, Burt's Beeswax is the brand on it. Great product. Not that expensive, lasts for a long time in the tube that you get it in, so that's another recommendation of something that I don't think there's anything in it that's not safe. And I did get an email, EWG, I guess it updated their site on sunscreens also. I think we talked about that on the call already. Somebody brought it up. But
what about the elastomag hand wrap for your hand, Char?
You know, I've put that over it, and it helped. I was going to take and split a, because I want it to come down over the, more of the end of my thumb, because it's also in my thumb joint, both, well, the actual joint right there, as well as the hand part, and a little bit in the first joint on the thumb, not very much, but a little bit, I can feel it. I've used it, but it didn't come down far enough, so what I'm going to do is I've got a, I think it's an elbow wrap, or else it's a small knee wrap when they were doing really not consistency on sizing, and I'm going to split it, and you take it to my advantage and put it so it comes down over all my knuckles on my hand, and then down clear to the tip of my thumb. And just stitch it up and then cut it. Two rows of stitching, zigzag stitching to hold it really good. And then cut between the two rows so I can split it so you can separate your thumb so it's not jammed against your finger and it wraps all the way around your thumb and then all the way around your hand also. So can you guys visualize what I'm saying? Kind of. I know I might do a little more sewing than you guys do, so that's why I'm asking that we don't get off on the sewing part of the stuff. Because I don't take much time for it anymore. Anybody else have any comments or questions about what we...
I have a couple of questions. Mindy brought...
Okay.
Gave me a huge bag of... You know, she's getting these produce week, and I end up as a beneficiary of what she... It's too much for her. She's not going to use. Swiss chard, can you eat that raw, or does it have to be cooked?
No, raw is fine. Probably somebody on here has got a great combination. It's also wonderful in your smoothies. It's not considered one of the strongest greens, but it's close to it as far as nutrient value.
Okay.
But, yeah, I've chopped it up. And also, for a bed of greens underneath anything that you're going to use as the rest of your salad, like, you know, you've got grains and veggies or whatever.
Okay. Eat the top of radishes or just the bulb?
The tops go in my smoothies the same as the tops of the carrots.
Okay. And cilantro, either raw or does it have to be in something?
No, raw is fine. I use raw in, I've got lots of salads that call for cilantro.
Okay.
The green mango is one of them that has a full, no, it's a cup of mint and a half a cup of, cilantro.
And what do you do with it?
Chop. Huh?
What do you do with those two?
It just goes in at the end of the, it's just part of the salad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, lots of that. Very, very good. I never am without cilantro, parsley. I usually have both kinds of parsley. It's so inexpensive, you can't not have it on hand, because I use it so much. And, oh, here's a tip. I think I said this before, but I'm going to repeat it. In preserving the cilantro, which is way fragile compared to parsley's, in the refrigerator, it's like, well, one, basil don't ever put in your refrigerator. It should be at room temperature. In fact, I had it out on the enclosed sun deck where it was up to 80 degrees, and it did better out there than it did in a cooler place.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the package it came in. I mean, it was like 2 into 3 weeks, and it, there wasn't a bad leaf in it, which was unbelievable to me. No preservatives on it. It's all organic in it. I bought the same line of fresh herbs forever. The other two, I don't usually pay over 39 to 48 cents a bunch. It's not worth not having them when you want to use them fresh, and I really don't like using dried herbs hardly at all anymore unless it's in something that's going to be stewed or cooked. And then I put about twice as much as what they call for. And part of that comes from using one of the containers that I'm still working on. It seemed really expensive at the time, but the flavor is so good that I bought sitting right here on top. It's one of Furman's containers. He had a 20 or 40% off on it. I'm going to try one of them. Motto Zest. He has different blends, and they're real fine powder. Just the herbs. You stick your nose in that, and you just go, oh, my gosh, that sounds like, that smells good enough to eat by the spoonful. It says soup base and seasoning mix. Anything that's called for one of his spices, I put the same one in, and it's just incredible. So anybody want to try one, like I said, it's a little spendy, but the flavor is just, and he's probably got a half a dozen blends. It's kind of like his, I haven't ordered any of his vinegars because I've made my own. I haven't even used that much of them. But this one is, it's all-purpose seasoning, soup starter, soup base starter. He uses it, he uses a lot of it, like a tablespoon to 2 tablespoons in anything that he's making. So if I used it continually, I would have been gone by now, but it's just vegetables and herbs ground up predominantly. I see there's a little bit of soy flour in it. But anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. Did I answer your question, Nancy?
Yes, thanks for that info. I'm sure there will be more as the summer progresses. She says she gets it for 26 weeks. I said, whoa, that's a lot of weeks.
And, you know, you could dry that, too, just leaving it out in open air. Set it on a screen, just on a screen, and it's going to be so much better than the dried herbs you're going to be picking up unless you're spending the money for Penzies or something that's, you know, really, really a pronounced brand.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I would do it. So you don't waste any of it, especially when you're getting them organic like that.
Yeah. Okay,
how did you say it preserves the cilantro?
I didn't finish that. Bye-bye. The way it came, and this was from the Asian market, one of the smaller Asian markets I went into, I saw they had all of their herbs prepackaged. I think they did them themselves. And they were in cellophane bags. And so I took and put, just left it in the refrigerator, the cilantro in the refrigerator, and in the bag. And what was in the bag was 3 weeks, and none of it had gone mushy. You know how it gets mushy against the side of the plastic bag, any of your, especially your cilantro?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this was beautiful. And what you could use, if I got to thinking about the bags, because I'm a hoarder. I always find uses for all these things. Jenny brings me so many bouquets of flowers. I've got just now turning black some of the deep red roses. And they're always in one of those sleeves, the flower sleeves.
Uh-huh.
And they're always cellophane. So you could just reuse that and throw some of your fresh herbs into it. I haven't done it yet, but I know that's all they did was have either a rubber band or a twisty on it. It wasn't sealed tight. It was just that was what was against the herbs. And that could be the only reason that they stayed that way. There is no way you could ever get cilantro to last that long. Ever, 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 ever.
Do you buy cellophane bags anywhere?
I know you can from the bag companies, like maybe Upline or one of the ones that do them for, especially for Christmas bags.
or, you know, go online and get them, because they're pretty reusable, not like the green bags would be, because they would crack easier. But you'll watch and you'll see that some of the stuff does come in still little cellophane bags. In fact, I wonder, I don't buy chips anymore, but I'm just looking at a bag of nori that's got a Ziploc thing on the top, and it's a cellophane. I mean, it's crisp. You can hear it crunching.
Uh-huh.
Okay, it's not a plastic. It's soft plastic. So I'll try a couple of those and see if they don't work. Because I've always tossed those. I've never saved any of those kinds of plastic or, you know, cellophane bags for anything. I thought they were useless. But, anyway, that was one. And then the other one with fresh produce, and we gotta get along, we're past the time here, but, with fresh produce is those net bags. And I know I mentioned that. I looked at my pea pods, and again, they look like the day I put them in the bag, which is now well over a week, and those came from the Grange. So, you know, they're not fresh. They're at pool date then, and, or close to. Pea pods, the same way, except not, I'm not using cellophane. I was using, it's almost like a bridal net, and they're to transport. They're selling them here to, with a drawstring top to transport your produce in. And they come either all one size, like 3-6 of them for $1.99 on a card that's hanging on a rack, the end of a rack in the produce.
Has left the conference.
I saw them at one of the specialty kitchen shops when we stopped. I think we were in Austin, Texas, It was either Austin or it was Phoenix. I can't remember. Maybe I was with Jeannie. And I think it was. Anyway, they came in various sizes, from big, small ones to big ones. And they were a little bit more spendy. But, my gosh, the things I put in them, I've only used them about 3 times now, everything. And then I put it down in a plastic bag. I don't want a lot of air going through the bag. Some things you want to be aerated, and others you want what moisture is there. I was watching one of the tips on one of the short tips on one of the cooking YouTubes or something that was on that came to me. And the gal was saying, wrap your, green leafy. Oh, I know what it was. It was Rachel Ray, I think, maybe on Oz. Anyway, she laid out, the greens, or bunched them, and then kind of rolled them in a paper towel and then put it in the plastic bag. You want the moisture, but you don't want the plastic against the leaves. Again, they go mushy, as I'm sure you've all had happen. I've had it happen so many times I can't even begin to count. But then you have to discard the outside ones to get to the ones that are still good. Anyway,
Loretta
has left the conference.
The taps on
Red
Beets.
End of conversation, guys.
The taps on Red Beets. Can you eat those raw? I know they go in smoothies,
oh,
but can you
yeah.
eat those raw?
Yeah. Raw. I've got most of that stuff that's really high nutrients. It's a little bit stronger. I used in my smoothie the other day. I got accused of having a fermented smoothie, and I had to tell my son. I said, it is not fermented. It's mustard green. Mom, that was fermented. I said, drank the same smoothie the next day. He says, I've never had mustard greens that taste like that. And I said, well, I have. There's a lot of difference in the spike in peppery taste in mustard greens. And that was not fermented. It was fresh. And so anyway, we got into this big hairy argument because it's just wonderful hearing how much more my kids are going in and moving faster into realizing more and more of this stuff. Vance and the youngest one, Nick, being the two that have done the most with it, took the green smoothie out, and Nick says, oh, yeah, I'll have some of that. Vance, no, I just got through eating. Well, we'd put it down even if we just had a meal, so just thinking of the nutrient value. But anyway, guys, we got to run.
Thanks, Cher. Sure.
Way over time. Thank you for your input, questions, comments. Have it a wonderful day. Make it a wonderful day. Healthy one.
Sure.
Yes. Bye.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.